Mr. Long, you're up first again.
Thank you, Pat. This is a case of Commonwealth versus Jen. And Ms. Jen comes before this court seeking a jury trial. Now, this court has previously recognized a restricted jury trial right in the Commonwealth courts. Pursuant to this restrictive right, a person charged with a crime in the local courts is not entitled to a jury trial unless there's a possibility of greater than 5 years imprisonment or a fine exceeding $2,000. On the other hand, any person living or residing in the Commonwealth or who is charged with a crime in the Commonwealth, they're charged in the federal court, then that person is entitled to the full Sixth Amendment jury trial right. And it's in this appeal that Jen contends that she is entitled to a jury trial under both the Sixth Amendment as well as the CNMI jury trial right. The entitlement to a jury trial under the CNMI law turns on whether Ms. Jen was confronted with a fine, or facing a fine of greater than $2,000. The facts are undisputed on this, in that she had a maximum fine of $1,000, and there was a $2,000 assessment. Now that the whole sole issue is whether this $2,000 assessment constitutes a fine. It was argued in the trial court that it was a fine, even though the statute labeled it as a fee. And there was in previous trial court decisions it was not argued in the trial court about the fine and the fee versus fine versus fee issue. But in other cases, the trial court and Superior Court had focused on the fine versus the fee issue. And in this case, on appeal, the Supreme Court, although the parties that addressed the issue in terms of fine and fee, the Supreme Court determined, well, that's not the right way to view this issue. It construed the $2,000 assessment as being a penalty, and then it stated that, well, whether it's the jury trial might attach it depends upon whether it's a civil penalty or a criminal penalty. Now, we believe that that was improper in as much as the statute that gives the jury trial right makes no distinction as to whether the fine is either civil or criminal.
Going back to what we can review, however, is that the question for us? Does it matter whether or not that rationale is proper or the best rationale, or is our question limited to whether it was a subterfuge or untenable?
Yes, Judge, you are correct. Your review is limited to whether it is subterfuge or untenable with respect to the construction of this statute. And given that there is no legislative history on this statute, there was no basis for the court to rely on any legislative intent as to what it meant about the $2,000 fine. This was purely a judicial essentially the judiciary construing a statute, from my perspective, construing a statute in the manner to uphold the denial of a jury trial or to deny the right to a jury trial. In fact, one, it makes the statute makes no distinction between if it's a civil or criminal fine or penalty, but the judiciary did it, then it's a civil fine. But that extent, under Commonwealth law, if a person is subject to a civil fine of more than $1,000, they're still entitled to a jury trial. So we take the position that regardless if it was construed as a jury as a civil fine, she should have been entitled to a jury trial on that basis, since it's that triggered a civil right, that triggered a jury trial right for a civil fine. And in any event, we contend that the fine was criminal, and that, when added with the $1,000 fine, greatly exceeded. So we think the construction of the law in this particular instance is untenable and subterfuge. But in any event, Your Honor, we think that the Sixth Amendment should be extended in full. The Sixth Amendment jury trial right should be extended in full to put an all or equal defendant in the local courts of the CNMI.
Well, we've already held otherwise, so that's not up to us, is it?
Yes, yes, Your Honor, I believe it is up to this court, because Adelaide basically said that there are three ways we could be approached. We could say that the Sixth Amendment right does not apply at all, or we could say the Sixth Amendment right definitely does apply. But in Denver, neither, those two are just extremes. So we're going to take the court took an intermediate approach, which it referred to as a cautious approach with respect to the jury trial right. So basically what that means is that it doesn't say that Adelaide doesn't say that the Sixth Amendment right never applies in the Commonwealth. It just says that we are not prepared to extend it at this time because of this cautious approach. In other words, there should be a transitional period for the jury trial right to be fully extended in CNMI. And it is our contention that Adelaide is more than 20 years old now, and there's been limited jury trial rights for more than 35 years in the Northern Mariana Islands, and that an individual has the full Sixth Amendment right to a jury trial at the federal court, and the jury members come from the same pool jury voters as the Commonwealth trial.
But wasn't that also true 20 years ago when Adelaide was decided?
Yes, that was also true 20 years ago when Adelaide was decided.
So nothing has changed on that score in that 20 years, isn't that correct?
Excuse me?
Nothing has changed in the intervening 20 years since Adelaide on the fact that you get a jury trial in federal court and not in state court. That's still the same, isn't it?
The only thing that's changed has been the familiarity with a jury trial right here. Because now that we've had this period of time where the jury trial has existed, we think that the underlying basis for Adelaide is that, one, it's an anomaly that concern is no longer present.
Isn't that a very good argument to make to the legislature, though, to amend the statute to provide for a jury trial?
Well, that is one alternative, but it's also an argument that can be presented to this court. Because I think we rely on Johnson versus Louisiana to establish that the federal court has the power to declare a Sixth Amendment right, the existence of the Sixth Amendment jury trial right, irrespective of any state constitution or any state statute. So this is an appropriate argument that can also be directed towards the court because the court has the power to make this particular ruling. And the additional changes that's occurred in this society, there's a retention vote that's been enacted with respect to judges, so voters now pass on the aspect of judges, and that within a little less than a year from now, next May, the Commonwealth Supreme Court will be treated on an equal basis as the highest courts from other states, and that appeals from Commonwealth law go directly to the Supreme Court of the United States as opposed to the Ninth Circuit, such as this case here. And to that extent, since that shows the maturity of the judiciary within the Commonwealth. And given this maturity of the judiciary, we feel that that is also another reason of change that has occurred for the extension of the full Sixth Amendment right to all criminal defendants in the Commonwealth. Because we do not see any logical reason why now, after being a part of the American family for this period of time, and members of the community having experience of serving as jurors in a limited fashion in Commonwealth Court, and in any case involving punishment of at least 6 months or more in federal court, that the people of the Commonwealth are familiar with the jury trial right, and that now there is no further impediment for the use of this cautious approach as existed in Adelaide. Furthermore, we think that Adelaide, since it's premised on the insular cases, that the rationale for the insular cases no longer exists in this day and age. And since the underpinning of the rationale for the insular cases, in our opinion, should be moved away from, that also serves as a basis for moving away from this restricted Jewish moral life and the Commonwealth.
Are you suggesting that we ignore Adelig or overrule it?
Neither. Neither. I'm not suggesting that ignore or overrule, because what Adelig said is that we are taking the cautious approach. And what we're asking this court to do is say that the cautious approach has served its purpose, and it has served for the transition for the Commonwealth from a restricted jury trial right to a full jury trial right. That is not our ruling, Adelaide, and we think that is perfectly consistent with Adelaide. As our reading of Adelaide, that the door was left open for a subsequent court to rule that the transition has occurred such that the Fourth, Sixth Amendment right can be extended.
What language in Adelaide do you read as leaving it open to a subsequent panel of this court to arrive at a different result?
What I believe is that with respect to the Adelaide case, where the Adelaide says on page 688, first, we could maintain that the entire Constitution applies by its own force in any place where the United States functions as a sovereign. Second, we could maintain that the Constitution applies in NMI only to the extent provided for and agreed to in the Commonwealth. In the Covenant. Covenant Section 501 would therefore bar any challenge to the CMI's procedures based on the Sixth Amendment right to trial by jury. We believe that the line of decisions known as Hensler cases suggest that neither of these approaches is appropriate. In other words, they're saying we're not ruling that the jury trial right applies automatically as a force, and we're not ruling that it doesn't apply because of the Commonwealth. It says the first is too broad, while the second is too narrow. That's why, again, they took the cautious approach and just stated, we are not prepared at this time. Not the key language. The key language is, of course, worrying at this time. So that shows that it's a temporal factor that is in play in Adelaide. Because if they didn't mean to say to leave the door open, why else would they restrict it to at this time? So to say at this time only seems to convey that this is for a transitional purpose. That is our argument, that this has served, the transitional purpose has been served. And then given the temporal time between when Adelaide was decided and now, is over 20 years, and the experience of the Commonwealth, the growth and maturity of the Commonwealth society, and the Commonwealth judiciary, we believe the time is now appropriate to extend the 4th, 6th Amendment jury trial right. And if the court has no questions for me, I will reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, Mr. Lynch?
Yes. A very interesting question, but I think the defense is really asking for far too much concerning this issue. First, the question is, to what extent or what is the standard of review of the Commonwealth Supreme Court's determination of the fine issue? And the court, I believe, in its opinion, it doesn't say this explicitly, but I think it's quite implicit in their analysis. They're saying that the right to jury trial attaches under circumstances where there is a criminal fine which is over $2,000. And then they go through their analysis and they distinguish the $2,000 assessment. And they don't use the word civil fine as Mr. Long has. They speak in terms of criminal penalty and civil penalty. And the assumption that the court made and the interpretation they put on this is that if there is some kind of a civil penalty, even though that would cause the total amount to go over the statutory limit and require a jury trial, if it's a civil penalty, then that does not count as a fine under 7 CMC 3101, and therefore the jury trial right is not available. I think there are a number of ways that, that this analysis can be performed. I think in our brief on appeal, we deal with that also. But I think ultimately this court does have the standard of review of whether the decision is untenable or amounts to subterfuge to avoid federal review of a constitutional violation. And I believe that under the analysis, the result is not untenable. It's an interpretation of Commonwealth law. And I believe when you look, even though there is explicit statutory history, the legislative history indicating that where the legislature says we intend to do away with the right to jury trial under this statute, if you look at the fact that the statute was amended to reduce the fine from $10,000 down to $1,000, and you look at some of the other acts of the legislature, such as in the area of child sexual abuse cases, where they reduced the penalty of one child sexual abuse crime to be a maximum of $2,000 to avoid having children appear in court and testify in front of jury, then I think it becomes very clear that the legislature understands what the statutory limit is, and that they understand also that it is their prerogative to have offenses tried to juries or not tried to juries, and that they are utilizing the statutory framework in order to accomplish their objectives. The bigger question, I guess, is whether this court should go forward and apply fully the Sixth Amendment jury trial right to the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. One observation I have is when the Adelaide court speaks of the, quote, cautious approach, close quote, I believe what they're referring to is the fact that the Bill of Rights has been extended to the states not in a blanket fashion where the Supreme Court has said, okay, all these rights all at once are going to be imposed on the states. They're proceeding cautiously, in other words, one by one. So I think that puts a little bit of a different flavor on the question of what Adelaide means by the cautious approach. The question is it's a very large question, and I think it's you have to read Adelaide and you have to read the Magafnia case in tandem. And the Magafnia case indicates that it's actually the Commonwealth Legislature in 1976, they considered adopting a constitutional amendment guaranteeing the right to jury trial in the Commonwealth. And the committee did not want to guarantee that right to all cases because of the expenses, difficulty in finding juries unacquainted with the facts of the case, and fear that a small, closely knit population in the Northern Marianas might lead to acquittals of guilty persons in criminal cases. So this is, the legislature has considered this question specifically, and they have rejected it. And it's not just the position of the prosecution of the Attorney General's office, but this is the voice of the legislature speaking, saying, we do not believe that we're ready for this. And I believe that the legislature and the United States Congress are the ones that should make this determination. It's really a question. I think it gets involved in Article 4, Section 3, the Territories Clause, and what that means as far as the CNMI goes and the relationship between the federal government and the Commonwealth of the Northern Marianas. They're asking for full extension of the Sixth Amendment, where there's no record that has been built or created in the lower courts showing the change of circumstances, showing what differences exist now that did not exist 25 years ago. Certainly you can argue, well, the federal district court has had jury trials for the last 25 years. But I don't think that means that it has become a way of life or part of the daily diet of people of the Commonwealth. And I don't know that in itself, or the fact that the nature of the judiciary in reference to the federal judicial system is changing in a year. I don't believe that's a compelling factor to cause this court to revisit the right to jury trial and the Nota Marianas. It certainly gets to a very large question, and I believe that it's not a question that is proper for this court to answer, but I believe that it's one that really needs the detailed analysis of at least the legislature of the Northern Mariana Islands to determine if they believe that it is appropriate at this time to increase the jury trial right. Certainly they could do that. They could enact a statute saying that there is a right to jury trial in all criminal cases. But they have not seen fit to do that. And they, I believe, are the ones who are best in tune with the needs of the Commonwealth and the concerns that were expressed in Magalhães relative to whether the full jury trial right should be extended here in the Commonwealth. There are other issues raised in the brief, and I'd be happy to address any of those, but I'm trying to tailor my responses to what issues are being dealt with by opposing counsel and raised by opposing counsel.
Yes, I don't think that the panel has any further questions, so unless you have anything else to add, then we'll return to Mr. Long for rebuttal.
Thank you, Jen. I'd just like to make one correction in response to a question. I say that the Adelaide Court said that they were not prepared at this time. A quick review of Adelaide, though the phrase at this time is not within the opinion. It just says we are not prepared to do so. And the point that they say we are not prepared to do so, but then leaves it open then maybe at a later time. Court can be prepared. And so at this point, that's why we argue that now this court has since the temporal connection has been in existence, the transition for the jury trial right has been undergoing the Commonwealth before that Sixth Amendment right should be extended. And we see no good reason why it should not, particularly that a person is charged with the same crime in the district court would get a jury trial, but if they were charged with a similar crime or the same crime in local court, there is no jury trial right. So on that basis, we don't think there's any logical distinction for us saying that the jury trial right is an anomaly now within the Commonwealth. And also, with reference to a question I believe that Judge Ryman previously asked about the interpretation of the statute, and was the court left to just the substantive or terrible. I think it goes beyond that, and that is also a federal issue, in that the Supreme Court, in our argument, misapplied federal law. It used the Supreme Court's the United States Supreme Court's analysis in the Ward case to determine whether or not the $2,000 assessment was civil or criminal. And in doing so, it failed to address the seven guideposts that were necessary for the second stage of the Ward analysis. So to the extent that the Supreme Court didn't properly analyze the $2,000 assessment under the controlling federal statute, we think that that there is a federal issue that is subject to a de novo review to the extent as to whether the application of the seven guideposts to the $2,000 assessment transforms that assessment to a criminal fine. So to that extent, we think that there is de novo review on the analysis of the Supreme Court in the denial of the jury trial right under local law. And unless the court has any further questions from me,
all right, I think not. We appreciate the helpful arguments in both cases from both counsel. That will conclude the hearing in both cases, and the court will stand in recess for the day.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you very much.
All rise. This court, for this session, stands adjourned.